Oh God, we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God would take the blinds off folks' eyes. Let them see that Christ is sufficient for all their needs and for every need. Lord, we pray tonight that they might see the Lord Jesus as the one who can meet the need of life, meet the need of death, meet the need of eternity, meet the need of the sin question in their soul. We thank you for your word and song. Bless your word as we come to it just now. We need, Lord, your help, and we pray for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, commencing to read at verse 20. And if you feel as warm as I do, then just flick your coat off and feel comfortable. They certainly like the heat here in Lurgan. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be on the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife." A woman to be remembered. Remember Lot's wife. Let's flick back to Genesis chapter 19. Let's just do that tonight. Just do what the Savior says. Remember Lot's wife. There are four words that I want you to get into your mind tonight. Listen to them very carefully. They're very simple words. The first word is the word family. Family. The second word is the word society. The third word is the word opportunity. The fourth word is the word tragedy. Now let me embellish that just a little. I want you to remember this woman tonight. And I want you to remember the family that encouraged her. I want you to remember the society that endangered her. I want you to remember the opportunity that enlightened her. And I want you to remember the tragedy that engulfed her. Remember Lot's wife. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19, just a few verses, till we get the background of the Savior's statement. You remember the angels have come to warn Lot concerning the destruction of Sodom. You've heard the term sodomite. Sodom is a synonym for sexual perversion. You think this sexual perversion has only appeared in the 20th and 21st century? Don't you believe it? Appeared here in the early days and with Lot. Look at verse number 13 for a moment. The angels have come to Lot and his family. They're delivering a message of impending judgment. They said, "For we will destroy this place." Genesis 19, verse 13. "Because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see, when you go down to Sodom, and when you pitch your tent towards Sodom, and when you begin to live like the world does, you lose your testimony. That's what happened to Lot. He lost his testimony. He was a great farmer. But when he went down into Sodom, he got involved in the politics of Sodom. The Bible says that he sat in the gate of Sodom. Doesn't mean that he sat in a literal gate. It means that he occupied an important position. He was a judge in Sodom. He was an official in Sodom. He was the first minister in Sodom. But I want to tell you, when you start as a Christian to live like the world, you begin to lose your testimony. And he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Look at verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Verse number 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But, his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. There are few warnings in Scripture more solemn than that which the Lord gives in Luke 17 when he says, Remember Lot's wife. Here was a lady who had the privilege of being married to a righteous man. Here was a lady who left Sodom the same day as Lot, but she was destroyed because she disobeyed God's express command. And now the Lord Jesus is holding her up as a beacon. He's holding her up as a warning light. He says, Remember Lot's wife. Here was a lady who was turned into a pillar of salt as the fringes of the judgment of God overwhelmed her where she stood. My dear friends, the erosions of time and weather have obliterated that mournful statue, but the Lord Jesus has embalmed her in the pages of Scripture as a warning to us all. Remember, he says, Lot's wife. Now my question to you tonight is this. Why does the Lord Jesus specifically ask us to remember Lot's wife? Why didn't he say, remember Adam's wife? We're certainly more familiar with Adam's wife. You remember Adam's wife, Eve. She was the one who ate her family out of house and home. I mean, why didn't Christ say, remember Adam's wife? Why didn't the Lord Jesus say, remember Abraham's wife? She's a tremendous example to us all. In fact, in the pages of the New Testament, Abraham's wife is set before us as a godly woman, an example of what a godly woman ought to be. The Lord Jesus could have said, remember Abraham's wife. But very specifically, he calls our attention to this unnamed woman in the Bible, and he says, remember Lot's wife. We don't have a great deal of scripture about Lot's wife. The largest verse and the most that is ever said about her is this verse that I have read to you in Genesis chapter 19, where it says, But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And the only other time that Lot's wife is mentioned in the Bible is in the New Testament. Three simple words, remember Lot's wife. Now why is the Lord Jesus calling us to remember her? Why should Christ give us this warning? Why should he reach back into the Old Testament and bring up a character of minimal importance? Why should he go to a yesteryear to remember an individual that has passed through the scenes of time with little or no recognition? And yet here is the Savior, And he's singling out a woman whose soul was lost in hell forever. He says, remember Lot's wife. He doesn't say, beware of becoming like Lot's wife. He doesn't say, take heed of imitating Lot's wife. He doesn't say, do not be like Lot's wife. He uses a different word. He uses a stronger word. He says, remember Lot's wife. He speaks as if we're in danger of forgetting. He bids us stir our lazy memories. He keeps this woman. He bids us to keep this woman before our minds. He says, remember Lot's wife. Now that's exactly what I want us to do. And I want you to remember, first of all, her family. The family that encouraged her. You see, here was a lady who was surrounded by spiritual devotion. Now, in the days of Abraham and Lot, they had no Bible, they had no preachers, they had no tracts, they had no churches. The greater part of society was living in spiritual darkness and sin compared with the millions of her fellow travelers who were hurtling on to eternity. Lot's wife was a very privileged woman. She was a very favored woman. Think for a moment of the relatives she possessed. She was married, for example, to a backslidden man. Somewhere along the line, Lot, like Abraham, had put his faith and trust in the Lord. And he was accounted righteous in heaven's sight. Indeed, Peter calls him that righteous man. But we would never have guessed that from what is revealed in our passage that Lot was a believer. Were it not for the fact that the scripture calls him a righteous man, we would probably have written Lot off as one who merely professed to believe. There's an old English proverb that says you can't have both the penny and the bun. Lot wanted both. He's just like some of you here tonight. He was a man who had a saved soul but a lost life. He was a man who wanted one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Dear friend, tonight let me ask you at the beginning of a new year, which world are you going to live for? Are you going to live for time? Or are you going to live for eternity? Are you going to live for the material? Or are you going to live for the spiritual? Are you going to live for the eternal? Or are you going to live for the carnal? You see, she was married to a backslidden man. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a backslider. And you've lost the joy of your salvation. And wasted years can be written across your life tonight. Dear friend, God still loves you and He wants to restore you into that intimate fellowship with Himself again. She was married to a backslidden man. You know, she was related to a better man, Abraham. Uncle Abraham. My dear friends, it's probable that when Abraham received the promises of God, that God was going to make of him a great nation, that she was there. It's probable that when Abraham built that altar of worship between Hai and Bethel, it's probable that she was there. When Melchizedek, king of Salem, came forth to meet Abraham with bread and wine, it's probable that she was there. When the angels came to her home in Sodom and warned her of impending judgment, it's probable that she was there. I tell you, the faith, the knowledge, the prayers of these two men, especially Abraham, could have been no secret to her. And yet in spite of the fact that she was surrounded by spiritual privileges, she lived and died graceless, godless, unbelieving, and impenitent. My dear friends, if Lot's wife were to give her testimony tonight, what would she say? What would she say to us? Mrs. Lot, tell us what happened. What caused it? I can see her as she drops her head and her chin starts to quiver and she says, I abused my privileges, I neglected my opportunities. I'm here tonight to tell you that the possession of religious privileges will never save you. Do you realize that? The possession of religious privileges will never save you. You're here tonight in this gospel meeting and think of the privileges that God has given to you. The privilege of a favored land. I mean, where in all these islands has the gospel been preached with more fervor and faithfulness than in Ulster itself? The privilege of a Bible-believing church. Not only here, but throughout the country. You've enjoyed the best of gospel preaching. You've dwelt in the midst of gospel light and gospel knowledge and gospel holiness. All this. And you're still not saved and you may be lost forever. And for some of you tonight, you've enjoyed the privilege of a Christian home. Is there a greater privilege than to have a godly father, a man who kneels in prayer before God for your salvation, a mother who teaches you the Word of God, to be brought up in the atmosphere of prayer, and from your earliest days tonight you have learned of sin, of salvation, of heaven, of hell? Wonder tonight, are you resting on religious privileges? I wonder, do you think that you'll enter heaven tonight on the credit of your parents' face? If you do, then Jesus Christ says to you tonight, remember Lot's wife. Remember the relatives that she possessed, and then remember the prayers that she provoked. I mean, did Abraham not pray for this city of Sodom? Did he not draw nigh to the Lord and say, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God remembered Abraham. Indeed, the deliverance of Lot's family from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was an answer to prayer. Here was a lady who was the object of Abraham's prayers, but she was lost. I wonder how many of you tonight are the object and the subject of prayer. Many an hour has been spent before the throne of grace for your salvation. Many a tear has been shed to God because you're still, though surrounded by religious privileges, you're still unsaved. Dear friend, tonight listen to me when I say that you could be the object and subject of prayer and still be lost. What are you relying on this evening? Are you relying on the fact that your parents pray for you? Are you relying on the fact that you have a faithful preacher, pastor, minister? Are you relying on the fact that you attend a Bible gospel church, a Bible believing church? Then I hold you up this woman tonight and I say, remember Lot's wife. Remember the family that encouraged her. Remember, secondly, the society that endangered her. We know that Lot's wife was a member of the society of Sodom. You remember that when Abraham and Lot decided to part, we read, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. You see, when we think of Sodom tonight, down there at the Dead Sea, just south of the Dead Sea, we realize that Sodom was a place of prosperity. Let's not think that these people away back in time were antiquated. This was a very prosperous city. And of course we know that Lot's wife was part of that society. She enjoyed the benefits of prosperity. She was the wife of Lot. She was the wife of a well-to-do farmer who had moved his city into the city of Sodom. You remember that he got into politics. He sat in the gate of Sodom. He became the first minister in Sodom. I just think tonight that Lot's wife enjoyed all of the privileges, all of the benefits that that particular position brought to her. I think that Lot's wife tonight enjoyed the attention that she got. You know, women love attention. We men know that, of course. But Lot's wife enjoyed all of the attention that she got. She enjoyed the luxuries that this was able to bring to her. She enjoyed the prominence that her husband's position gave to her in Sodom. I'm sure that she was asked from time to speak at various luncheons on the subject how to be the wife of a successful husband. She lived in a society of prosperity. Indeed, that's how the Lord Jesus described the days of Lot in the New Testament. He says they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The Lord Jesus was just describing a place where material things had taken over. He was describing a place where materialism had come to the fore. I wonder tonight, can you see the parallels to our day? Sure, tonight we have hit a recession, but as far as the rest of the world are concerned tonight, we're rich. We live in a land of plenty. You say, preacher, what's wrong with that? Isn't that good? Don't we enjoy the good things of life? Of course, we enjoy those things tonight. The problem, my dear friends, is not in owning things. The problem is in things owning us. I just wonder tonight, is that where you are? I wonder tonight, like Lot's wife, have material things become the god of your life? I wonder, has materialism got its hook in your heart tonight? You remember what the Lord Jesus said. He said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Christ was saying, it's not what a man or woman has, it's what a man or woman is that really counts. The Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And if we could compress the world's goods into this room tonight and put it on the one side of the scale and the value of a human soul on the other side, the Lord Jesus said, the scale would go down on the side of the soul. Sodom was a place of prosperity. You're here tonight and you're not saved and you've enjoyed the good things of God. The Bible says that the Lord makes His sun to rise on the good and the evil. He makes His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He's filled your heart tonight with good things. You have enjoyed every good thing that has come from the hand of God tonight. And yet, in spite of the goodness of God, you're still not saved. Listen, Sodom was a place of prosperity. Sodom was also a place of perversity. Here's what the Lord said about it. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, as I have intimated already. Sodom has become a synonym for sexual perversion. I wonder, would you agree with me tonight when I say that a society of prosperity has a tendency to soften moral convictions? Is that not how it was with Lot's wife? I wonder, did materialism begin to wear away at the convictions of her heart? Can you imagine how it was? Her neighbors and friends would say, Mrs. Lot, you used to live out in the country, but now you've come into the big city. Things are different in the city. We're not living in the past anymore. You've got to get with it. You have to move up in your thinking. You've just got to relax your standards just a little bit. Would you like to see what a typical night was like in Sodom? Well, have a look at Genesis chapter 19 for a moment. Look at verse 4. Just in case you think that this book is outdated. Look at verse 4. This is the angels coming to Sodom, to Lot's home, to warn them of impending judgment. But before they lay down, the men of the city, before the angels lay down, they had come in human form. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. You know what they're saying? You see these guys that come into your house, bring them out. We want to have sexual relations with them. Here they are. All the men of the city. There's young men, there's old men, there's middle-aged men. They're like baying hounds. They're flaming in their lust and their passion. And they're saying, bring these men out. We want to know them. We want to have sexual relationships with them. Here they are. They're open. They're unashamed. They're broadcasting their depravity on the streets. They're declaring and announcing their perverted lifestyle in the open. My friends, is that not where we are tonight? Sexual perversion has gone on to the main street. It is open. It is aggressive. It is insistent. I tell you, my dear friends, when you get to a day when people are walking on the streets and they're parading their perversity and they get on television talk shows and they're bragging about it and they're organizing churches around it, you're living in a day of deep, deep, deep depravity. And yet God's word is unchanging. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as womankind. It is abomination. Sodom. It was a place of prosperity. It was a place of perversity. But then tonight, what about the depravity in your heart? Wonder tonight, is there a habit that you cannot defeat? I wonder, is there sin tonight that you cannot conquer? I wonder, is there a lifestyle that you cannot control tonight? We're here to tell you that Jesus Christ breaks the power of canceled sin, and Jesus Christ can set you free, and He's the only one. Here was Lot's wife, enjoying the privileges of her family, and yet dwelling in Sodom. And the Savior's saying to us tonight, remember Lot's wife. Remember the family that encouraged her. Remember the society that endangered her. Remember the opportunity that enlightened her. Dear unconverted friend tonight, let's not complicate the gospel. Let me give it to you in simple terms tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's how it was put in Old Testament terminology. Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Was Lot's wife warned? I remember when I was in college many, many years ago. In fact, 40 years ago this year. I remember when I was in college, a friend of mine, Albert Jones, he was from Jamaica. He was as black as your boot. He used to come smiling down to breakfast every morning. Albert was always the first one up for devotions. And he would sing along the corridors, and he waking up all the English guys, and oh, they were so cross. One day he went up to the edge of the corridors to shower and use the facilities up there, and the toilets were broken. And he come down the corridor singing, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters fail. And one day Albert, he got up in sermon class, and I was his first critic, and this was a sermon. And he said, I want to talk to you this morning about Mistress Lot. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you about Mrs. Lot. And I'm here to tell you, dear friend, tonight that she was faithfully warned. She was faithfully warned. The messengers were faithful in delivering the message of God. Oh, it's probable that she's seen the angelic visitors as they entered a home. She had heard the news of impending judgment. She had looked upon the anxious countenance of her husband. She had watched him as he drank in the angel's message. And then she went out to plead with her sons-in-law. Oh, did she not hear the warning of the angels? Did she not see the anxiety of Lot? Was this woman, Mrs. Lot, Mistress Lot, was she not faithfully warned? Dear unconverted friend, tonight I stand before you and I want to tell you, you've been faithfully warned. Have I not acted as God's watchman? Has it not been heralded from this pulpit time and time again? Turn ye for your evil ways, for why will you die? Hell, hell fire, the damnation of hell, the place of torment, outer darkness, the place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, the place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Are these not words which the Savior Himself described, used to describe the reality and eternity of hell? My friends, hell is an awful place. I was thinking about those words the other day. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And my friend, like Lot's wife, you've been faithfully warned. And like Lot's wife, you've been urgently warned. For we read, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. You see, the thought of sacrificing his home, his lifestyle, his friends made departure difficult. And yet what are material possessions in such an hour of impending judgment? Dear unconverted friend, tonight are you entangled in the world? And is the world about to be judged? I wonder tonight, as the morning almost arose, the morning of God's judgment day, and you're still not delivered. As the harvest passed, the summer's ended, and you're still not saved. Why are you lingering tonight? Some years ago in Pennsylvania, a small town stood near a river. And just above that, there was a dam built across the river which held back a great volume of water. And then came heavy rains unexpectedly, which, of course, due to the heavy rains, the water rose to a level unknown. The engineers come out. They were very anxious. They were watching and asking, will this dam hold? And suddenly a crack was noticed, and the engineers come through the town and the village, and they said to the townsfolk, you've got to flee. You've got to flee to the mountains. The dam is going to break. The flood is going to come. My friend, that dam had been there for hundreds of years. And you know, those townsfolk were saying, well, what do these young whippersnappers know from the city? They don't know anything about it. They refused to leave with those who had already gone, and suddenly the dam burst. Swept down the valley into the town, and hundreds of souls plunged into eternity. Friend, tonight there's an urgency. There's an urgency regarding your situation. The Bible says tonight now is the accepted time, now is the day of your salvation. You mightn't be here next week. Some of us were at a funeral today. The man was here last week. He was walking about. On Thursday night he had a heart attack and he was in eternity. You may not be here next week. Christ could have come by next week, and you would be my friend in eternity. But where would you be, in heaven or hell? The Lord Jesus is saying to us tonight, remember Lot's wife. Remember the opportunity that enlightened her. Oh, she was faithfully warned. She was clear. She was urgently warned. She was clearly warned. I mean, she knew the way of escape. Escape, look not behind thee. She knew the where of escape. To the mountain, she knew the why of escape. Lest you be consumed, she knew the way of escape. Arise, it was immediate. Let me ask you tonight a very simple question. You're here on scene. Are you unclear as to how you should be saved? Are you uncertain tonight as to God's way of salvation? Are you unsure tonight of how to get right with God? Let me put it to you simply tonight. Let me tell you of another mountain that Thelma has sang about. It's called Mount Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus, the sinless one, the one who was sinlessly perfect and perfectly sinless, the one who did no sin, knew no sin, and whom was no sin. There the Lord Jesus bare your sins in his own body on the tree. There God smote Christ instead of you. There by the shedding of Christ's blood, Christ opened up a way back into the presence of God. Dear unconverted friend tonight, it's simple. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open where you can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Listen tonight. This is another golden opportunity for you to trust the Lord. It could be the last one. Remember Lot's way. Remember the family that encouraged her. Remember the society that endangered her. Remember the opportunity that enlightened her. Remember the tragedy that engulfed her. Oh, that I were an artist tonight, that I could picture the scene. Lot's in front of her. He's running for his life. She's at his heels. And then suddenly she begins to think of her home, her house, her possessions, her materialism, her lifestyle. She's beginning to think, you see, these messengers of judgment, these messengers that entered my, could these messengers of judgment be wrong? And the Bible says that she looked back from behind her and she became a pillar of salt. She, being often reproved, hardeneth her neck, was suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. You say, wait a minute. Do you believe that is possible? Could she become an actual pillar of salt? I heard about two children who were in Sunday school one day. The teacher taught the lesson of Lot's wife and how she became a pillar of salt. And after Sunday school, they were walking out together, and one of the kids said to the other, do you really believe that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt? The other said, yes, I believe it. My mommy went driving yesterday, looked back and turned into a telephone pole. A pillar of salt, engulfed in the judgment of God that overtook the city. Why? Why? She disobeyed God's word. Listen to what God said. Escape for thy life. Look not behind. My friend, that's just as simple as you can get it. The language is clear. God said, don't look back. Nobody can miss that. My dear friends, the matter of salvation tonight is very simple. It's a matter of being obedient to what God says in His Word. God is the one who has designed the way of salvation. God is the one who has sent His Son to die on the cross that you and I might live. God is the one who has the sovereign right to determine the terms of salvation. It's simply tonight a matter of your obedience or your disobedience to the Word of the Lord. God says this is the way that you've got to be saved. You've got to come this way or you cannot be saved. God is under no obligation tonight to change the terms of salvation for you. And here was a woman who was lost because she disobeyed God's word. And here was a woman who was lost because she despised God's way. Neither stay thou on the plain, escape to the mountain, lest you be so consumed. God's way was not looking behind. God's way was looking ahead. You see, God had provided a corridor. He had provided a corridor of escape through the fire and through the brimstone. God had made for her a way to be saved, and yet she despised God's way. You see, Christ says tonight that God's way, God says that the way of salvation is to look up. You see, here was a woman who was looking down. She was looking down on the values all around her. She was more concerned with the material and the spiritual. She was more concerned with time than eternity. She was more concerned with the temporal and the eternal. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you here tonight and you're disobeying God's word and you're despising God's way? Listen, she disobeyed God's word. She despised God's way. She deserved God's wrath. They almost have to drag her out of the city. And then Lot's wife begins to get serious. She hears the thunder. She hears the ripping of the earth. She can smell the sulfur in the air. And she starts running. She's panic stricken. She's getting faster and faster. And all of a sudden she thinks, what about my jewelry? What about my possessions? What about my lifestyle? Could these angels be wrong? Maybe the Lord or Lot doesn't know what He's talking about. He said not to look back, but just one look. What's one look going to do? She lingered and she looked and she was turned into a pillar of salt. My friend, will you listen just for a moment? If the Lord went to the trouble of sending His Son to the cross to die for you, if God has given you His Holy Bible, which shows to you the way of salvation, if God has given to us tonight the Holy Spirit of God to touch your heart, if God has allowed you to hear messages from Christian preachers, if God has allowed you to have a Christian nearby that has an authentic testimony, and you reject all of God's warnings, and you reject all of God's opportunities, you deserve His wrath. You deserve His wrath. She became a pillar of salt. That's why Christ said, remember Lot's wife? She was so near. And yet so far, she was almost there. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to feel. Sad, sad that bitter wheel. Almost but lost. Remember Lot's wife, her family, her society, her opportunity, her tragedy. Several years ago, two evangelists are making their way up the east coast of Scotland. They arrived at one particular city in port, and one of the evangelists told this story. He said to the other one, he said, during the war that I was a chaplain in the Royal Navy. He said, we were out there on the North Sea. Out for a long time. We were looking for German destroyers. And
The men on the ship were tired and they had no break, and eventually word came from the captain of the ship that we were coming into this port just for a few days' break. He said everyone was excited, but there was one wee boy on the ship who was particularly excited. This was the town and city where he lived. The chaplain said, this young boy came to me. He wasn't that old, but he came to me. And they asked me to go to the captain and see if he could get more time off than the rest so that he could see his mother. The request was granted, and the little fella, the young lad, the teenager, was excited. Indeed, he was so excited that when that ship began to dock and come close to the wall of the harbor, he couldn't wait. And so he decided to jump. But he missed the wall. And he went down between the wall and the ship. And he was lost. The chaplain tells the story that the captain approached him and said to him, this is your job. You will have to go into the city, find the apartment, find the home of his mother, and tell her what has happened. The chaplain tells the story that it was a heavy heart that he made his way through that, the streets of that northeastern Scottish city. Eventually he came to this lady's home. She brought him in. He sat her down. He told her the whole story. He said, to my dying day, I'll never forget the expression on that mother's face as she leaned back in her chair and sobbed, almost home, almost saved, but lost. I wonder, will that be said of you? Almost saved, but lost. Let's pray. Maybe you're here tonight and what we've been speaking about is very applicable to you. Some of you tonight, I look into your faces and I pray for you every day that God would speak to you. Some of you are here tonight and you're the children of Christian parents. And you've been cradled in the gospel, but you're rebelling. You're kicking against the goads of God tonight. Kicking against everything that you've been taught from childhood days. But God's speaking to you again tonight, giving you another opportunity to trust the Savior. Will you come to Him? Will you trust Him? Just in the quietness where you're sitting, where you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and perish in hell. But I thank you that the Lord Jesus paid the price, paid the debt for my sin in drops of precious blood, rose again to be my Savior. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I just turn from the sin, the best that I knew how, and asked you to save me. Will you take that step? Will you take it now? Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt speak. Speak, Lord, to the children of Christian parents in the meeting tonight. Some of them are young. They think that life is lying before them. And yet how suddenly they could be called into eternity. Some are older tonight in the meeting. Father, they're related to Christian people. They've had all these privileges that we've been speaking about. They're still not saved. Lord, bring them to thy feet tonight. Oh God, by the Holy Spirit, do something that we cannot do. Bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to number 16.